Well, we've developed some creative writing resources for parents and families whose babies have died. It's a project created in collaboration with an Edinburgh baby loss charity called Held in Our Hearts, and the project was funded by Loughborough University. And what we hope to achieve with these very beautiful keepsake postcards with little prompts to capture fleeting memories and try to make sense of the stories and experiences of the brief lives that we've lost. What we hope to achieve is to give parents a chance to make sense of the experiences that they're living through and to give them an opportunity to start conversations with family and friends who may not know what to say, all working towards the wider goal of gradually breaking the taboo and the stigma that surrounds baby loss, that means that when parents lose a baby, they feel like society understands and accepts their feelings of grief. Well, sadly, we lost a baby shortly after his birth a few years ago, and the way that I coped with it was I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And as I wrote, I found that I was writing down memories and details and also things that I was struggling with, things I couldn't understand or make sense of. And I found that the writing was really the thing that helped me come to terms with the experience. And in fact, as I wrote and wrote and wrote, the more complex the experience, the more complex the writing became, and the more interesting the writing became. And it's become really interesting to other people as well. So having, you know, gone through that process of writing and writing about my experience, I started to wonder whether I'm the only parent who's been doing this and finding ways to understand grief through writing. And of course I'm not. It's very common to, there are lots of resources out there to explore journal writing in grief. There are lots of writing groups that you can join in bereavement. What we don't see is really any specialised resources for parents whose babies have died. And that's when we started to think, look, this could really be something that could make a difference to parents. Because actually, for many reasons, baby loss has a special relationship with stories. As we know, one of the things that can really be painful when a baby dies is that people don't know what to say. And when people avoid the conversation, avoid the subject, then we're probably going to avoid the subject too. And those feelings just get lost further and further inside us and not shared. And again, it can just make things more and more and more difficult. When we have an easy way to start a conversation, then that can help to bring out stories and memories of our baby, which helps us feel better and helps our family and friends really understand how they can help us and how they can interact with us. And this is the reason we made the postcards as we did. We really took care to create very beautiful, special keepsake objects. They're on really beautiful card that parents can write on and then keep, so that they feel special, and they might even be things that parents might like to display on their mantelpiece or share with family and friends. Very often, if a parent has no living children, then their identity as a parent is really threatened. They don't feel that they maybe are a parent socially. Even if they very much feel that they're a parent, other people may not know that they're parents or believe them to be parents. So Mother's Day can bring up really difficult emotions and really bring everything back up. What really helps on anniversaries and special days and challenging days like Mother's Day, Christmas, is to create rituals that have meaning within our family life. And writing can be one of those things. Writing can be one of those ways to spend time with the memory of our baby, spend time with to asserting the fact that we are in fact mothers, parents, and so it can really be a nice way to spend some time on Mother's Day marking that time, perhaps privately, perhaps over the years you'll collect up, you know, a series of writings created every Mother's Day, and then Mother's Day begins to have its own special significance that is unique and special to the, you know, to the experience of loss. I hope that these cards will help parents to make sense of their experience in a meaningful way, in a way that helps them and makes sense to them. I hope that it will allow them to explore sharing those stories and those feelings with their family and friends. And I hope that will show their family and friends how we can support people around reproductive loss, around baby loss and pregnancy loss. And in the longer term, this is all part of a bigger project of making baby loss part of normal conversation, making it come out into the open so that people feel naturally supported when a baby dies by all of society. So I'm interested in grief and bereavement, but because I spent many years working in the creative arts, that's the lens through which I view grief and bereavement. So I'm interested in the different kinds of options people have for making their own sense of their experiences of grief. Very often we believe that we have to be passive recipients of all the blows that life throws at us. And of course we do up to a certain point, but we have a little bit of flexibility in the way that we tell ourselves that story, the way that we craft our own beliefs about what's happening to us in life. And I think writing is a really powerful tool as we try to craft our experiences, as we try to create our own meanings from the blows that life throws at us. Baby loss has a special relationship with stories and story writing, and that's for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that when somebody dies, throughout all over the world and throughout time, we know that the bereaved are comforted by the stories and traditions and narratives that accompany death. Perhaps they're, you know, the religious or spiritual beliefs about an afterlife, about where the soul or the spirit of the memory of the person goes. Or they might be informal stories or social customs like funerals and sending condolence cards, sending flowers, being kind to somebody who's bereaved, understanding they're sad, you know, getting time off work and so on. And this really helps bereaved people to get through their loss, partly because they understand that what they're going through is normal and is part of society. Sadly, when a pregnancy is lost, when a baby dies, many of those natural stories just don't exist. Very often people don't know that we are pregnant and that we've lost a pregnancy, so there's nothing to, you know, that we wouldn't receive any comfort there. And even if a baby dies when people knew that we were expecting a baby, our family and friends didn't know the baby. We didn't know the baby ourselves. So we don't have those life stories or those natural beliefs that we've lost somebody. So there's a kind of lack of stories there. Very often there'll be no funeral, there may be no condolence cards, no time off work, and perhaps more importantly, there's just a general, people call it a taboo or a social stigma. There's not much that we know or understand as a society about the experience of losing a baby or losing a pregnancy. And all of these things amount to just a lack of stories, a real problem with no sort of social stories and narratives that surround the experience of baby loss and pregnancy loss. So when parents have the opportunity to create their own stories and to really think about what that experience means for them, it can be really transformative, because the lack of stories is one of the things that makes it so hard to get over the experience of baby loss. Very often parents find that they, because their loss isn't really acknowledged socially, they're not really sure what they have lost. They didn't know the baby. They're not really sure who or what they've lost, why they feel so sad since nobody is missing from their family. But of course, somebody really is missing, somebody they were expecting, part of their future. All of those future stories are missing. And if parents can learn to understand that it's natural to feel as awful as they do, and that these lives are worthy of many, many stories, rich, long, big stories, then that can really improve bereavement outcomes. It can improve the way people get through life in the years and decades following a loss. I think writing has a special role to play when we're thinking about how we can try to make sense of our difficult experiences. I think of writing almost as a kind of precision instrument that can help us work with our experiences and our emotions. When a baby dies, when a pregnancy is lost, there are often, you know, there's often a lot of medical equipment around. There's often, you know, doctors who are measuring things and probing and testing and looking very closely at things. And that creates a really helpful picture of the medical situation. And we know how much that helps. But I think writing can do something similar for the emotional experience that we're going through, which could otherwise be really quite neglected or not really understood. when we write things down, it allows us to slow down thoughts and experiences and memories. It allows us to capture and grip hold of fleeting, tiny thoughts and memories. It allows us to magnify those things, almost like a medical tool that might magnify something that's visible. Well, it can magnify those experiences and feelings that aren't visible but are very meaningful. And so it can create, enlarge and expand and help us to understand things that might seem tiny. And often when a baby dies, we only have tiny memories, tiny things, tiny thoughts. And it allows us to capture those things, hold them still, expand them, and really sort of delve into them in ways that can be really helpful. And I should say that writing isn't necessarily for everybody. It's not for everybody, and it's not for every stage of grief. It's not sort of a magic solution that can help grief go away, certainly not. And for some people, it really might not feel like it's the right thing to do. But for those who it can help, it really can help to clarify and capture experiences. And there's another way in which writing is especially helpful when a baby dies. We know that when somebody dies, it can really help bereaved people to have the objects and things and clothes around them that the person who's died has left behind. It helps create, continue a bond, feel like that person is still around. You know, we can hold them and have a physical, you know, experience. When a baby dies, sadly, we very often don't have much stuff. Maybe none of the stuff that we collected for the baby actually met the baby themselves. So we don't have those precious things. And parents often talk about the problem of the lack of things. They don't have stuff and they want stuff. We want stuff. Now, we have very few small precious memories. But if those memories can be made bigger and made to feel more and more real, then, and it's not only memories, it could be symbols and other meaningful thoughts. If those can be made to feel bigger and more real, then they begin to feel like things that we might have and hold dear. So we created two different writing resources for parents whose babies have died. One is a writing group, which we ran online, which allowed parents to come along every week and explore their experiences, their memories, and try to craft from them something that really makes sense and is meaningful to them. And then alongside the writing group, we created something that I think is really unique and really special, which is a pack of writing prompts created as really beautiful keepsake postcards. They're mostly blank. They just have a couple of lines at the top with maybe a question or a prompt to help parents to capture those fleeting memories and details and think a little bit about their experience in a way that might help them in time to come.
Hi, so I'm Nicola Welsh. I'm the chief exec at Held in Our Hearts, so we're a Scottish-based charity providing baby loss counselling and peer support to those bereaved of a baby or a young infant. So we decided to work with Tamarin on this unique project after Tamarin reached out to ourselves. And so as a bereaved parent, she recognised that majority of the team that work at Held in Our Hearts are bereaved themselves. So we use that lived experience to not only support others, but to change, you know, policy and best practice across as many health boards as we can. And Tamarin recognised that in us and was looking for, I guess, a charity that's very well connected to their families so we could really push forward the project in the best way possible. So the cards are distributed to the families through our memory bags. So every family receive a bag, and the bags are soft and a canvas bag so that they can go in a suitcase or they might go in another memory box that the hospital provide. And they've got very special gifted items. So I first established that in 2011, and at the time I did it with a local hospital, and we sat with what were the families currently getting and what was missing, and they haven't really changed much over the years. So it's all really thoughtful items, and our bags are all about continuing bonds. So everything that's in the bag is around, there's been evidence that the neurons are fired up when a mother holds her newborn baby is similar to those and when a family connect with a baby that has died of their belongings. They can smell the items or they can hold them. So everything in the bag is really about promoting the continuing bonds. And the project really spoke to us because there couldn't be anything better really to promote that continuing bonds and the continuity of love and memory making. So we hope the cards will achieve another way of families connecting with their little one, whether that's immediately at the time. It might be that they take the cards out in the hospital and look through them, and it makes them consider like those moments. They can't go back to those moments. So there's ones around holding the baby and the relationship they have with their baby. But also it might be in those empty days and weeks that follow, an opportunity to connect in a different way. There's lots of, you know, ways of talking about our baby, but actually indeed in the very early days, it's very hard to even articulate that level of pain and trauma. So through the cards, we hope that it's possibly a joint experience with other family members or a partner, but it may be a very individual private reflection. And it may raise issues and it may raise connections that the families hadn't considered. And some of my favourite cards really do that. They really speak to, well, that's right, I've known my baby their whole life already because I was pregnant. And women find that particularly really difficult because they're like, but I didn't know the baby. But indeed, if we take it back a layer, we can often encourage families to think, but you spent every moment and every day with that baby since they were conceived. And where did you go? Was there any memories that you created with the baby? And often these can shape the funeral. And I hope the cards might be able to also assist in helping families feel like they can own that funeral, which is very symbolic. And there's a, you know, it's a traditional it's a tradition for a reason. It allows us to process what's happened and connect with those that we love and have gone. I do think writing helps families process some grief that sometimes can't be accessed. So there are many talking therapies, but talking therapies also require a level of, I guess, articulation and the ability to articulate ourselves. And sometimes that is very difficult when we can be stuck in trauma or we can be so low with mood and grief. It's very heavy and weighs you down. And I guess the aim of the project is to allow people to connect differently. So by writing down and expressing themselves in a different way allows them to also access talking therapies. But it may be that it touches on another element of their loss that they're unable to access. I really hope that is what the aim of the project will be, is that writing encourages us almost to lose the barriers of what we think we should be feeling, because we're actually just expressing what's going on for us, because articulating it kind of can put us into a bit of like, maybe I should be feeling this. We're actually, by writing, it's just letting it out and letting it come onto paper, and the process in itself hopefully encourages a sort of deeper connection and element of grief. So the cards are very new in the bags, really just since the end of last year, and feedback so far has just been really I guess really touching in what it means to the families. In particular, there was a family who had lost a wee one suddenly at home and unexpectedly, so a sudden death. And I actually went out to the family's home with the cards and we sat with them together, and it really helped them, they said, to try and plan the funeral, because one, you know, in particular, is, now that I've known you my whole life, this is who I believe you would be. Like, those kind of deep thoughts can really make you connect, when especially for this family, the eulogy was, they wrote the eulogy themselves and they also spoke on the day of the funeral. So the cards almost laid a foundation in what, how they could connect and relate to others about the love that they feel for their baby. So that was a really positive feedback for ourselves. And actually we had a chaplain in at our work last week, and the chaplain again said it would be really beneficial for them to use the cards when they first go up to see families in the hospital. So the project, which we've called From the Heart, as a writing project, we held a series of workshops with families where they they opened up and connected through writing, and we realised that an extension of that would be to make it accessible to more families. So the writing project is in distribution for anybody who wishes to access it, whether nearly bereaved or longer ago. And the hope for the project, of course, is really that families connect with their babies in a different way from talking therapies. Sometimes it can access deeper parts of grief and make us consider the relationship that we had with our baby and those that we wished we had, but they can still continue and develop. And it encourages everybody, I suppose, to dig deep and think about those continuing bonds that we have with our little one. So in 2009, I was pregnant with my second son, and he was diagnosed with a condition in pregnancy. We didn't expect him to die, but we did have 3 weeks with him. And so in hindsight, we started a blog because we thought he was going to live and return home, and we knew we'd have a period of time in hospital. So the blog was already set up. He arrived early, and It was almost instant. From the first night he was born, I found myself writing to tell everybody that initially he was born. I was excited, but of course each day brought more complications, some operations, new pieces of information. My husband and I both shared the writing so we could connect and how we were feeling that day. Some evenings I was too exhausted or just too stressed to write, and so he would record. And then we would have replies. We would wake up the next morning and people would be, you know, able to connect with us that we couldn't possibly phone everybody and tell them daily what was going on. And then, of course, he died. And it still surprises me yet, but I returned home, and probably only about 2 hours from being in the home without him, I opened up the laptop and wrote. And I wrote about, you know, the hardest thing to ever write was to tell everybody he'd actually died. Nobody was expecting that news. And actually still looking back on the words I used, it surprises me, like the strength of love that I had. And perhaps that's what I hope for the cards, is that it's 14 years since he died. But when I look back and remember, I remember the love and I remember the gratitude and I remember how strong I was at the time, and I think that gives you strength moving forward. And since then the blog's been made into a book and the grandparents have a copy and we've got a hardback copy that can hopefully get passed down to his brothers. So writing for me was really, really important. I disengaged after. I don't think I could access it for a long time, but it reminds me that writing at the time when feelings are raw can really help in the future, because things can become blurry. And so it's a great support for many, and almost a part of the memory making, I guess, as well. What's the word, like other families, and more so other families will often say, I wish we'd done that. Why did we not think of that? And I feel like eternally grateful that somehow that evolved for us, because I would never remember. And like I said, like the day he died, so I'd never held him until he died. So basically my first time holding him was really when he was going to die, or I knew he was going to die. And interestingly, when I look back, the line that always catches me is that I said, like my first moments holding him, and instead of saying how agony it was, I actually said like it was the best moment ever, and how lucky I was to be able to get that opportunity to hold him and how special it was. And it was like, I think in my head I would have written it as like the agony of having to say goodbye, but actually I at the time on that evening flipped it to how much love there was and how blessed I was that I could hold him as he died. So it's a really interesting process, isn't it? And only writing would have captured that, because I actually genuinely don't really think of it like that now. I just think of the agony of it actually, if anything. But at the time, I recorded the love. So really interesting. And I think what Tamarin's done is given families hopefully that opportunity, and maybe actually even just talking about it just now makes me really consider the wealth of it. Because if we can do that in the card, then you only know what you know yourself. So I know how that makes me feel. And if we can do that for others, then yeah, it's a really welcomed project.
So my name's Lindsay Donaldson and I work for Helping the Hearts as their peer supporter and hospital liaison for the Highlands. So I'm based in Upper Inverness. And today I'm going to be talking about how writing has really helped me personally process my own grief. And So my story started about 10 years ago. I've been bereaved for 10 years this July. It's when I lost my son Hunter, 18 weeks during my first pregnancy due to partial placental abruption. It happened very suddenly and I just wasn't prepared for it at all. And even though I was, and I hate to say only, but only 18 weeks through my pregnancy, you know, we met him, we could see who he looked like, and I wasn't prepared for a grief so strong. It really hit me. And it just isolates you and makes you feel incredibly alone. And we found Helping the Hearts and they were just a lifeline to myself and my husband. And they really helped us through. We tried again for another year and we did get pregnant again, but we sadly heard the words, there's no heartbeat at 7 weeks. And I went on to naturally miscarry 3 weeks later. We kept going, we kept trying, we got pregnant again. And sadly on Mother's Day 2015, I lost my daughter Esme at 22 weeks due to a reason completely unrelated to the placental abruption. And that was devastating to be back in that position again. But once again, Helping the Hearts were there. We kept going. We got pregnant again later in 2015. But sadly, our daughter Freya was diagnosed with a condition called anencephaly. And there was no chance of her surviving outside the womb. So we had to make the difficult decision to terminate our pregnancy with her. That happened in October 2015, right in the middle of Baby Loss Awareness Week. So we've got some choice dates in our history. And, you know, we just kept on going. No one had told us that we couldn't. So we got pregnant again. Sadly, that ended in a very early loss. But that was just a sign to just keep on going, that there was still hope. And we did get pregnant again for the sixth time. And through a lot of help, through Helping Our Hearts, through the hospital, and just a lot of hope, we got our daughter Iris home in April 2017. And she's going to be turning six very soon. My journey into writing, I think, started when I wrote a letter to my son. Both my husband and I wrote letters independently to our son that we never read each other's letters, to place in his memory box. And it was just an outpouring of grief and guilt and emotion, but I just needed to get it out there. And I discussed it with my counsellor for quite a wee while before I did it, and it did help. And I think about, well, it kind of all started because I a bit obsessed by baking after I lost my son, and I thought I'd start a blog around a bit about grief and all the recipes that I was using. So it was kind of like a baking blog, but it quickly turned into just a blog about grief and all the emotion that I was trying to deal with, and basically my journey. I didn't expect to be writing that blog through the loss of subsequent children, but it just kept going. Writing about my experience has really, it's helped me greatly. It's helped me deal with all the emotions that you deal with on a daily basis. I've written about every single part of my journey, you know, part of my story, all my children's stories about their births, about that stay in hospital, coming home without our babies, and just what it is like to live daily with members of your family not here. It's such a release of emotion, and just to kind of put that overwhelming feeling of grief somewhere and just put it down in paper. And it is just such a cathartic process. Certain days, especially Mother's Day and the lead up to birthdays, they can be incredibly hard. And I'm quite experienced in my grief. I've lived with it for a long time. So I know now that the lead up to those days can be often a lot worse than the day themselves. So I do sometimes spend that time in the weeks or days leading up to a birthday or Mother's Day writing about how I'm feeling, and how basically it's just that build up of emotion, and it has to go somewhere. It has to come out. And my way of releasing that is by writing it down. And I think it also helps to articulate to others who haven't gone through it, just how it how it could feel for someone they know who's lost a baby. So yeah, writing on special days, it's definitely helps me feel connected. It's a tangible link to my children. It's leaving a legacy for them. And yeah, I don't write as often as I used to, but I do now write on their birthdays, on Mother's Day, Christmas, Baby Loss Awareness Week, and New Year as well, because it can be hard to move into a new year with all that hope and promise when you're really still grieving. I still write. I didn't expect when I started the blog that I would still be writing it 9 years on, but I still need it and I still enjoy writing in it, even though it is a sad subject. And it is just leaving, just marking special days now. So I really only write on it on birthdays and Christmas and, you know, the days that are significant to me. I probably could write in it a lot more, but I don't want to share too much with friends and family and kind of fill their social media feeds with sadness all the time. But it's changed over time for me, definitely. But it still definitely helps. I would definitely encourage any bereaved parent to give it a go, even if writing isn't your thing. You've got nothing to lose. It's such a release. It doesn't need to be shared publicly with anyone. It can be just for your own personal use. And it is such a cathartic process, and it really does help process all the complex emotions that come with baby loss, because no 2 days are the same. You know, even a year or two down the line, it still can catch you out. And just writing about that, all those feelings and all those triggers and all the external factors that can really make or break your day can really help just to get those thoughts down on paper. The cards that have been developed and they're in the Held in Our Hearts memory bags are just beautiful. They are such a lovely resource to give to parents, especially in those first early days of losing their baby. It's almost like they're being given permission to write about their baby and a guide on where to start. They're just perfect. I really wish I'd had them when I lost my children. There's definitely still a taboo around the subject of baby loss. Within the baby loss community itself, you've come across many bereaved parents who are just so desperate to speak about their baby because they can't do it within their family or within their friend group. There's almost a stigma around baby loss, especially you know, if you've had to have a termination for medical reasons like I have. People are often worried about saying the wrong thing, so they don't say anything at all. And they also think there's a time limit on grief. They think that one day you're going to wake up and just be over it, but you're not. You've lost your child, and it's a grief that you're going to live with for the rest of your life. I've definitely found that writing has, I suppose, let other people in my life access my grief and access how that's changed over time, but it's still there. And the resource, such as the writing cards, it's just such a nice way that people could maybe share how they're feeling, their thoughts about their baby with their friends and family without having to speak openly about them, because it's such an emotive subject and it's so personal to the individual. I think speaking about this topic around Mother's Day is, I hope it gives people, bereaved parents, the chance to know it's okay to write about your baby. Persuade them to write as a coping tool. That's certainly what it's been for me over the years. It's been a massive coping tool. You know, you don't need to share that writing anywhere. It's just for yourself. It's such a personal thing. But it is a nice way of honouring and remembering your baby at a difficult time of year. Certainly from my point of view, where I have been writing the blog for many years, I know that friends have reached out to me to say that another friend has gone through something similar, and if it wasn't for reading my experience, they wouldn't know where to start with their friends. So my blog didn't start out as something to help other people as such, but if it does just touch or speak to one person, then it's done more than it was ever supposed to do. My experience of writing has been more than I could ever have hoped for when I started. I didn't start out writing to create a blog that was going to last 9 years, but it started a tradition for me. It created a legacy for my children, and along the way, I hope it's helped others in my group of friends and family to understand what it's like to live with baby loss, and live with a grief that's hard to explain to others. I would definitely encourage other people to give it a go, especially around days such as Mother's Day. Is such a cathartic process, and it really can help with you process the grief. It's every day is different, and it's such a long journey through baby loss that it just helps you with that overwhelm and a release of all that emotion that has to go somewhere.